prayers. I appreciate that so much. If you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to Psalms 121. I'm going to read three portions of Scripture tonight. And the portions of Scripture will be to break into to what we're going to talk about tonight. Psalms 121. I'm going to read the first two verses. We know it off by heart. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. And we're going to read at verse 7. So gain some verses that we all know so well. Matthew 7 and verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. One last scripture in James, the Epistle of James, chapter 1. The Epistle of James, chapter 1. We're going to break in at verse 17. Just one verse. James 1, 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I'm sure the Lord will bless our hearts the reading of His precious word. Tonight we could be looking at the subject of prayer. It's the greatest tool, the greatest weapon that a Christian has. But so often, and too often, we don't use it. The only way we could get to the throne of God is by prayer. So tonight we're going to break it up in five simple points. And tonight it's going to be more of a, I hope, an encouraging message than more than a challenging message, although there will be a challenge. But tonight we want to look at who may pray, how to pray, when to pray, encouragements to pray, and answered prayer. First, I want to look at briefly those three portions of Scripture that we read as it's really an introduction to the message. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Really, this is a psalm of comfort and consolation. Wherein the psalmist from his own experience exhorts the godly to an expectation of help and defense from God. It's in contrast to the psalm before it, because the psalm before it was a psalm of uncertainties. But Psalm 121 is a psalm of certainties. Isn't that what it says? My help coming from the Lord. The psalmist got no doubt about that. He says, he will not suffer my foot to be moved down further. He will not slumber. He is my keeper. He shall preserve me. A psalm of certainties. But the question tonight, you might ask, why lift up his eyes to the hills? Why? You know, I believe that the psalmist said that because Jerusalem is sitting on a mountain, surrounded by mountains. He knew that the temple of the Lord was there. And if the temple of the Lord was there, therefore the presence of the Lord was there. And David says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Not so much that his help come from the hills themselves, but he knew the Lord was there. And he knew that in many occasions, God spoke from those mountains. He was there. I believe his mind might have gone back to Mount Moriah when Abraham was offering up his son, Isaac. And he knew how God came in. And as Abraham was about to slay his son, said, Abraham, Abraham, do not slay your son. Now I know that you love me. I'm sure his mind went back to Mount Horeb, where Moses saw the Lord that in that burning bush that was not consumed. Many other places, his probably mind went back to Mount Carmel. We'll probably look at that a little bit later on in the message, where those 450 prophets tried to call down fire from heaven, could not. And when Elijah did and prayed to God and God did, we'll look at that a bit. His mind probably went back there. And sure, his mind went back is when he was taking care of those sheep. When that lion came. And that bear came and God helped him. His mind probably went back in that valley of Elah when the giant, he faced that giant. He says, I'll look back there where God is and I know he will help me. In other words, he was going to talk to God. He was going to pray to God by looking to where God was. We read another portion of scripture, and it's Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Ask, it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. That's speaking of prayer again, isn't it? Everyone that seeketh, findeth. Everyone that knocks, it's been opened. I think that suggests to us, we'll look at that later on, as perseverance and frequent prayer. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Don't give up. And then the portion we read in James, chapter 1, 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variation, neither shadow of turning. Let me say up front, only good gifts come from God. In fact, he is the source of every good and perfect gift. Not only is God's gift good and useful and perfect, nothing lacking in them, but his liberality is consistent. No variation, no change. So why don't we talk to him more? Why don't we pray more? I was reading about just before I came to the meeting tonight, a little story about Billy Sunday. And after Billy Sunday trusted the Lord, within a few months, an elderly Christian put his arm on his shoulder and said, Billy, three things I want you to remember. And if you do these three things, you'll never have backslider wrote behind your name. He says, every day, Billy, you take 15 minutes to let God talk to you. Then, Billy, you take 15 minutes to talk to God. And then, Billy, you take 15 minutes to talk to others about God. Billy Sunday says it changed his life. And many, many came to know the Lord as Savior through the ministry of Billy Sunday. If we would make that our motto tonight, we could change Spanish Wells. We have the greatest weapon. It's prayer. First, we're going to look at who may pray. Matthew 11 and 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I'll have you laden, and I will give you rest. You say, Freddie, what's that got to do with prayer? It says, come. Those who have heavy burdens and those who are laboring tonight can come. If you're here without Christ, you can come and leave your burden. But if you're a Christian tonight, I believe most of us have a burden. It might be for a lost one in the family. It might be for a backsliding one in the family. It might be a physical need. I don't know, but we all have needs. And the Lord Jesus says, come. Isn't that good? Come. Come tell me about it. Then rather just take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. lead them there. What a privilege to come. What a privilege to come. The results? Says he'll give you rest. He'll give you peace. Like no one else can. How to pray? Revelation 22. Who can pray? Who may pray? Revelation 22 says, 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Let him that heareth come. And whosoever will, let him come and take up the water of life freely. Whosoever will may come tonight. Who may come? The thirsty may come. If you're here and don't know the Savior, and you're thirsty to have that longing met in your life, you can come. Maybe a Christian tonight who's longing to have that thirst and know God better. You can come. You can come. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Every sinner can come for salvation. The psalmist in Psalm 86 says this, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon me. You know, those who want forgiveness and mercy tonight can come. Not only the sinner, but the Christian. Which of us today have not even sinned in thought or omission? You want forgiveness? Brother Frank prayed for that tonight. Oh, God, forgive us. He's plenteous in mercy. But he says, come. That's who may pray. If you need forgiveness tonight, you need his mercy, says come. Says God is gracious, a pardoner, forgiving, and one who will show mercy unto all that call upon him. I think it was Samuel Davies who said, who is a pardoning God like thee? Or who has grace so rich and free? So he says, come. Who may pray? Those who need forgiveness, they pray tonight. Secondly, how to pray. Ecclesiastes 5:2 says this, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and upon the earth, therefore let thy words be few. Now, I say this to encourage the younger men tonight. How to pray? The few words. Listen, let me encourage you, young man. You don't have to get up and pray for 5 minutes, or 2 minutes, or 1 minute. Just say, Lord, thank you for saving me, and sit down. You'll get more amens than anything else that would have been said that night. Let those who have few words pray. You don't have to have a long prayer. God knows the heart. Sometimes I think our tongue gets ahead of our thoughts. God knows the heart, and that's the kind of prayer he wants to hear. Those with few words, I'm not saying those with plenty words, those who pray 5 minutes. We appreciate that, but I'm trying to encourage those who've got few words. You can pray tonight. You can ask. You can pour out your heart to the Lord tonight in just a few words. You know, what we utter before God must come from the heart. That's it. You must be humble. That's what God wants. We must be serious when we come and talk to God, and we must be reverent. Sometimes we lose that reverence when we talk to God. I remember Eliezer is going down to get a bride for Isaac. And he's going to pray that the Lord will direct him. Listen how he approaches God. Oh, Lord God. We must be reverent as well when we come into his presence. How to pray? Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How to pray? By faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We must believe that he exists, is what the writer is saying, and that he is a rewarder. We must believe that he will answer every prayer to those who diligently seek him. No amount of good works can take the place of faith. Faith is the only thing that gives God his proper place. It glorifies him. It proves that we have no confidence in our eyesight, that we have confidence in him. I read this little poem, just 2 lines, some years ago. I thought it went with this. Speaking of faith. It says, I'd rather walk in the dark with God than walk alone in the light. I'd rather walk by faith within than to walk alone by sight. We must come by faith. That's how to pray. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How to pray? The writer says, confess your faults. First to God, then to one another, and then to healing. How often we want to do it the other way. We want to pray, then confess. Confession first. Pray one for another that you might be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man says avails much. Someone has paraphrased it like this. A prayer of a man whose heart is right with God works wonders. That's the difference. The prayer of a man whose heart is right with God will work wonders. How to pray? I think this next one is the best one that we could follow, because the Lord Jesus gives us the motto for it. And it's in Matthew 26:39. He says, not my will, but thy will. I tell you, saints, if that's the way we pray, God will answer. The Lord is in the Garden of Gethsemane. My sin and your sin is before him. He knows what's ahead, how men will take and treat him, how he will let men do that. He knows how he will suffer from the hands of a holy God. And he says, Father, not my will, but your will. You might be going through a crisis tonight, but if you could pray that way, you'll find peace. Not my will, Lord, but what you're willing to do. Whatever you're willing, Lord, I'll accept it tonight. I trust that's the way we'll pray. And the Lord knew he would eventually be dead. Philippians 4:6 says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. How to pray? First with supplication, and then thanksgiving. Be careful for nothing. That's pretty strong. Stop being anxious is what it's saying. Don't have the habit of worrying. Instead of worrying, as I said earlier in the message, take it to the Lord in prayer. Don't be anxious over it. But with supplication, that's how to pray. Supplication means entreating, I understand. With earnest pleading. Also cast the meaning of being definite and detailed in our prayers. Just not flippantly anyhow. Thanksgiving should always accompany the prayers too, shouldn't it? Someone has said this. We should be anxious for nothing, prayerful for everything, and thankful for anything. Tell you, if we had that attitude, others who don't know Christ would see a difference. Someone has said this also, we will not be defeated by anything if we depend on Christ for everything. But how often we don't depend upon him. Depend upon our own strength and what we can do. Oh, that we would depend upon him more. You know what the result of doing that is? The peace of God that passeth all understanding, the apostle says, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If we would do that. How to pray. John 14:4 says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. How to pray? In my name, in his name. You see, there's no other name that we could pray him. It must be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we find effective prayer, in his name. Prayer that's in agreement with the Lord Jesus. And I'll tell you, the closer we are to him, the more our desires will be like his. Because if we're far away from him, our desires will not be like his. Thirdly, when to pray. Psalm 55:17 says, evening, morning, and at noon will I cry aloud. What when to pray is frequently. Frequently. Every day. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. You know, as I was thinking about that today, if we need 3 meals a day for the body, how much more we need 3 prayers for the soul? How much more we need to take 3 different times maybe out the day to pray? We take time to eat, don't we? How much time are we taking for the soul? How much time? Isaiah 26:9 says, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. When to pray? In the darkest hour. You might be going through one of the most darkest hours in your life. You can pray. You can take it to the Lord tonight, and he's there. In the darkest hour, he's there. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. When to pray? Always. Continually to pray. We should give consistent attention always to prayer. We should be persistent in it. But how often we're not. How often we're not. The meaning is not that we should do nothing but pray. No. But it means that we should do nothing that would stop us from praying. That would hinder the prayer. I tell you, prayer will help everything that we do that is good. Psalm 50:15 says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. Thou shalt glorify me. When to pray? In the day of trouble. That's not the only time to pray, but I'm saying is that you can pray when it's trouble, when you're in a crisis. You can pray. The whole message tonight, saints, if you haven't got it, is that we need to pray. And I find it so much lacking in my life. And it's the greatest tool that I have. When to pray in the day of trouble. Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. When to pray to the sinner. If you're here without the Lord while he may be found, because he might not speak to you another time. If he's speaking to you tonight, if you're without the Lord, he might not speak another time. Heed his voice while the day of grace is still open. He's the God who will abundantly pardon. Fourthly, encouragements to pray. Psalm 145:18 says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him in truth. What an encouragement to pray. Christian, we're not talking to a God as we think sometimes is so far distant. The psalmist says he's nigh. He's right here with us. I think one of the brethren might have mentioned that tonight, or Brother Roddy might have mentioned it to me when he called me today. Encouragement to pray that the Lord is nigh. He is always there. He's never too busy to hear our hearts cry. And he will answer our prayer. What a comfort to know that he is near. And he has never turned one away and never will. Psalm 10:12 says this. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all. What a encouragement to pray that it doesn't make any difference to God who we are, whether we're rich, poor, young, old, black, or white. Whatever we are, we are such, he's rich unto all. He makes no difference. He shows no partiality. That's an encouragement to pray. That whoever we are tonight, we can come and pray, and he'll do the same for me as he'll do for anyone else. He's rich unto all. In Romans 3:23 says there's no difference between Jew and Greek for salvation. And now he makes it clear there's no difference when we come to the Lord as a Christian. There's no distinction as far as availability is concerned. He's rich unto all who will call upon him. For everyone, Matthew 7:8, we read that tonight. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. I want to read a poem I came across this evening just before I came to the meeting. I was trying to find something on prayer. It says, into the day, I got up early one morning and rushed right out into the day. I had so much to accomplish, I didn't have time to pray. Troubles just tumbled about me. And heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I turned to come into God's presence. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, why, child, you didn't knock. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on gray and bleak. I called on the Lord for the reason. He said, you didn't seek. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to praise. The first verse says, he had too much to accomplish, and he didn't have time to pray. But now he realized he had so much to do. He had to take time to pray. We need to take time to pray, Christian. Oh, how we need to realize it more and more. Encouragements to pray. Matthew 18:19 says, and again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father in heaven. You see, I tried that. I've had two other Christians with me, and we prayed, and it didn't happen. Listen, Christian, it must be in conformity with the revealed will of God. 1 John 5:14 says, if we ask anything according to his will, and it must be in faith. James says, asking in faith, not wavering. And it must be in sincerity. Draw near with a true heart. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a true heart. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Saints, what an encouragement to pray that he's faithful. He will do exactly what he says. That should encourage us to pray. And Hebrews 7:25 says this, therefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That should encourage us to pray tonight, to know that he is able. Says he is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think. Let me break it down briefly. First, he's able. That should be enough. Our God is able. But he says he's able to do. Not only is he able and able to do, he says he's able to do above all. Now, if that wasn't enough, he says he's able to do above all that we ask. That should be enough for us tonight. But he's able to do above all that we ask or think. That's the kind of God we have. And if that ain't enough, Paul says, he's abundantly able to do above all that we ask or think. And Paul says, if you want one more, he's exceedingly, abundantly able to do above all that we ask or think. That should be an encouragement to pray tonight. I trust he'll whet our appetites to pray more. Finally, answered prayers. Answered prayers. Exodus 17 and 4 to 6. Moses crying unto the Lord. He said, Lord, unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be ready to stone me. The people were thirsty. The people need water to drink. The Lord told Moses, go before the people, take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod, and go, and behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. Answer to prayer. Moses' life was spared. Over 1 million people's thirst was quenched. You know, it's a type, that rock smitten, that you, as we all know, is a type of Christ being smitten. And millions have come. And their thirst have been quenched for time, and thank God, will be throughout eternity. If you're here tonight again, if you've never been to that fountain and had your thirst quenched, I trust you'll come tonight. Answer to prayer again. 1 Kings 18 and 37 through 19. Elijah's on Mount Carmel. And the people of the Lord have turned away from him and they're serving idols, pagan worship. And Elijah calls the people together on Mount Carmel, says, if Baal be Baal, serve him. God be God, serve him. Let's each build an altar. Put a bullock on each altar. And the God who calls fire down from heaven, let him be God. They agreed, and there's 450 prophets. You know the story without me going into it. Tried all day, all afternoon, cut themselves, calling for Baal to come down and consume the sacrifice. And nothing happened. But Elijah prayed. And listen what it says happened. Elijah took 12 drums of water, barrels of water, poured it on the sacrifice. And it says, he prayed, hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know, not for anything for Elijah, but they may know that thou art the Lord God. It says, and the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. God answers prayer, saints. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, let the Lord, said the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Answer to prayer. Finally, as we close tonight, James 5 and 17 and 18 says, Elijah again brings another illustration. Was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prays earnestly that it might not rain. And he says, and it rained not for 3.5 years. And then it says this, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. There we see again the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You might say, Brother Freddie, how much? It held the rain from the heavens for 3.5 years. He'll say, yeah, well, that's all right for a prophet. How about for an ordinary guy like me? Listen, at the qualifications that Elijah had, a man of such passion as we are, just like you and I, he fled from Jezebel immediately after God sent fire down from God. No different. But the key to it was he prayed earnestly. His greatness did not in his special gift, no, but in a distinguished way he prayed. I trust tonight as we looked at this subject of prayer, that we'll be determined more to lay hold of God. Christian, it's the really only tool that we have to get a hold of Him. And He is omnipotent. He has all power. He has all knowledge. He's everywhere at the same time. Why not? Why not talk to Him more? Prayer changes things. Better still, prayer changes life. I close with this illustration, and I come across that tonight. And I had it in the back of this note thing. It must have fell off. It's a poem I'd like to really read. And I don't know where I got it. It's a beautiful poem. It's talking about down on my knees. There we go. I found it. See, when you got a hold of it. No, I didn't find it. Anyhow, it's talking about being on your knees. And so often we're not down on our knees. We found it. Thank you, Brother Roddy. Lost it. I didn't have time to, I'd like to learn the poems, but I didn't have time to learn. Thank you so much. And I want to close with this, because it spoke to me as I traveling on my knees. Just listen at the words tonight and take them home with us. Last night I took a journey to a land across the seas. I did not go by boat or plane. I traveled on my knees. I saw so many people there in deepest depths of sin. But Jesus told me I should go, that there were souls to win. But I said, Jesus, I cannot go and work with such as these. He answered quickly, yes, you can, by traveling on your knees. He said, you pray, I'll meet the need. You call and I will hear. Be concerned about lost souls of those both far and near. So I tried it, knelt in prayer, gave up some hours of ease. I felt the Lord right by my side while traveling on my knees. As I prayed on and saw souls saved and twisted bodies healed, and saw God's wondrous strength renewed while laboring on the field. I said, yes, Lord, I have a job. My desire, thy will to please. I can go and eat thy call by traveling on my knees. Thanks tonight. I trust that all of us will spend more time on our knees. Let's pray. Father, again, we're so thankful for the privilege that we have, that we can come right into your presence and call you our Father. As Brother Roddy prayed already tonight, all unworthy, but yet been made worthy to come through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, may we all take advantage of the privilege that we have to talk to you anytime, any place, anywhere, and know we'll never get a busy signal. You're always there and ready to hear our hearts cry. We thank you again for your precious word and for what it means to us and for what we realize one day that through it, us airing that word, it caused us to know the Savior, and Father, we pray now through that word, we'll live for Him and be a good witness to those around us. Father, with your blessing tonight, we thank you again for the Lord Jesus who made salvation possible. It's His name we pray, amen. Thank you so much tonight. We've been an attentive audience, and I know it's been simple stuff, simple things that we probably know, but just to be reminded of them. I tell you, as I went through it, to be reminded the privilege we have to pray. It changed me around. And I realize in a greater way how important it is to pray. I trust everyone will make a difference in our lives, in our prayer lives, even as we leave the building tonight. Thank you so much.